Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
All right. I'd like you to come with me to Ezekiel 47 and verse 3. And, often the move of God or the activity of the Holy Spirit is likened to a river or oil or wind. And with each of those elements, there is what you'd call flow or movement. With oil, there is a flow. With a river, there's a flow. With the wind, there's a flow of air. And one thing I've discovered is that people who are cantankerous, difficult to get along with, disagreeable people, have a lot of trouble with actually getting touched by God. It can take them a lot longer before something happens, because they've kind of positioned themselves in life as, oh, I'm not a yes person. And so they just disagree for the sake of disagreeing, whether it's smart or not, whether they've even thought about it or not. They just say, and that kind of thing is, in my mind, the kind of the nature of a goat. And Jesus says, sheep on this side, goats with the butt, you know, on that side. And somewhere down the line, we got to get transformed into that nature of a sheep, which follows, which is led, which is able to be nourished because it is led into green pastures. Now, some people would resent the idea of, what, you want to turn us all into sheepish people? No, that's not it. Because sometimes the image of the sheep is like weak or defenseless, and that's kind of true. And Jesus said, look, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, you need to be harmless as doves, wise as serpents, and that's your protection. So don't be gullible and naive, but get smart and be wise and somewhat cunning, if you like. That's, he says, is how you're going to be find your defense. But in the process of adopting an attitude like that, where you're agreeable and can be led, you find yourself empowered by that river of life that comes out of the temple. Now, Ezekiel talks about this in verse 3, this river that comes out of the temple. He says, he walked to the east with a measuring tape and measured off 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet, leading me through water waist deep. He measured off another 1,500 feet. By now it was a river over my head, water to swim in, water no one could possibly walk through. So the prophet was revealing that as you travel 1,500 meters, 1,500 meters, 1,500 meters, as you keep walking that distance and keep journeying with Christ, it's going to get deeper. If you stop at one level because you're not really willing to let go and get carried in the current of a river, you're going to keep in a place with your feet on the ground, and you can feel the impact of the Holy Spirit, but you're really not willing to kind of go a little deeper. I would urge you to let yourself be abandoned to the Holy Spirit so that he can overwhelm you. And the empowering that comes from that, rather than holding on to yourself, will take you into a level of living that you've never experienced before. I have no doubt whatsoever that as we come into presence starting next weekend, that we're going to start finding God taking you deeper and higher. And there are three passages that I'm looking in the scripture over these last few days, and that this is one of them, where the angel led the prophet. First, he got used to the ankle deep kind of living in the river. Then he went a little further and he got knee deep. And then he went a little further, got waist deep. Then he went a little further, and God understands that we learn to trust him. We learn to trust him at the ankle level, Learn to trust him at the knee level. Oh, I'm still okay. Learn to trust him at the waist level. Yeah, I'm pretty good. But then we're able to let go. Now, in a congregation like ours, any congregation, there are going to be people at all those levels. And in your heart of hearts, I'd say, come all the way. Take 3 days off, amen. Take 4 nights off and just soak in the presence of God. Don't be selective about, oh, I might go to that meeting or that meeting or that meeting. When we were kids in the science laboratory at school, the teacher was telling us about osmosis. And they put a potato in some blue dye, and you take it out, and you see a little bit of blue on the outside of the potato. Leave it in all night. Next day you come in, you got a blue potato, because it just soaks it in gradually over a period of time. And that's what happens when you soak in the river of God. You get immersed. And the word baptism comes from a word which means to put, immerse a piece of cloth in a dye until it eventually completely changes color because it is immersed. And the reason that we would put this conference on is not just so that we have a great event where all sorts of people come to. It will be that without any shadow of a doubt. I mean, make sure whatever you do, that you do not miss the first night. And be early, because there'll be all sorts of people wanting seats everywhere. And we've got like 200 to 250 kids from our school and one school in Mount Annan. It's another one of our see-through schools. And they're just, it's just amazing. We're going to be singing U2 song, Holy Love Could Leave Such a Scar. Yeah, thank you. Amen. How good was that? Your timing is impeccable, man. That was like the symbol says, get off the stage. You know, like, only love could leave such a sky. Okay, so Joseph's going to be singing that along with these kids everywhere, and then the drummers are going to be doing their thing, and we've got a whole bunch of drummers from the school, a whole bunch of horn players from the school. That will be a magnificent, because that's the name of the song. And we're going to be doing that. And then the first song is going to be that, awake, awake, awake my soul. In the middle of that is a rap piece. I don't know if you've heard it on the album. It's equal set to Bones. Hey, Bones, right. Yeah, like, sort of like that. You know, like. Oh, it's all right, wasn't it? Yeah. And so it's like we got Brad Sabat from Silverwater, who's Lebanese, and I said there last week, we got Brad, so I want all the Arab community to come and stand with their son, amen, in the entertainment center doing a rap number in the middle of a worship song. That's going to be amazing too, you know. And you and I can, being there, it's not just about you getting something, about helping us make this such a sensational moment for so many thousands of people. And I want to thank you in advance for making the commitment to be there and being at every session to really you know, make it go over the top. Now, this soaking in the presence of God is an empowering moment that God wants to take you into, because he wants to upgrade you. Now, when you come with me down into this passage, Proverbs 4:18, it says, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. The purpose of God in your life is that life should get better, not worse. Once you meet Jesus, from that point onward, you may go through a few trials and difficult times, very challenging moments, but the ultimate design of all of it is that you would go, your life and your pathway would wind upwards, not downwards. And it shines ever brighter, so that by the time you're ready to go out of this life, your life is shining its brightest. The Lord is looking for that to be the course of your journey. Even though it might take some twists and turns and some ups and downs, the overall graph of your life will look like an elevation, an upgrading constantly in your world. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. All of us, you know, following Christ, should be able to say, you know, last year when I was in this situation, I was really impatient. But now, man, I'm coping. Or last year when I was in this, I got really discouraged. I just collapsed inwardly. But you know, I'm stronger. I'm holding together. It isn't affecting me like it used to. And last year, these kids were driving me nuts. This year, they're still driving me nuts. No, amen, I've changed. Things have changed. And you, all of us should be discovering that that transformation on the inside and the way that we respond to negative circumstances around us, that on its own is going to help you upgrade in life, because people see that and they say, wow, we can rely on that person. We can open doors for that person. We can promote that person. Simply because you've got emotional maturity, you've got strength of character, you can be relied on, which is something that you keep growing. You go from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. By what? By the Spirit of God. God is at work on the inside of you to accomplish something. Now, I'm very rarely burdened with a message. I mean, Chris is burdened with that message right now. I got another burden on the inside of me that I will share on that first night called the parable of the dog. And it's about lordship. Amen. I know it's hard to put those two dots together, but believe me, I can do it. And so the concept of moving from him being my savior to him being my Lord is a huge another step I believe that many, many believers need to take for them to experience the release of supernatural power. And I'll share that on that night. But like, my feeling is this is an enormous concept for our whole movement and our church to grasp so that we can go up into another level that God is taking us to. Now, it is, you know, sometimes people will say, wow, I really feel like God is taking us to a new level. We hardly need to feel that in this instance. We can measure it, clear as a bell. There are nearly four times the number of registrants, about 3.5 times number of registrants that we had at the Kuala Lumpur Global Conference. We had 1,500 up here, there. We have about 5,500 right now here ready for this conference next week. Amen. So what I'm saying to you is that it's not like, oh, I feel like we're going to a new level. Baby, we have gone to another level. We're no longer in a 3,500 seat auditorium for this conference. We're in a 12,000 seat auditorium. So the levels of stress, the levels of bigness, the levels of stepping out in faith, all of that have gone up a level. Everything. And we need you to come with us on the journey. Amen. Because we're going from glory to glory. After this, if we do this right, we'll end up with a stadium somewhere or you know, whatever. And so the Lord must have looked at how we were going. They said, oh, yeah, you're doing okay with that. Because before that, we were in this hall. And before this, we were in Brookvale. And so when we started this conference, it was called Ozfire. It morphed into another name and transferred from Boxing Day to just after Easter. So it's kind of taken a slightly different shape, slightly different timing, but it basically was birthed out of a vision that I had, a burden, a feeling like we need to have a conference that provides a platform for a voice, an apostolic voice, and for a gathering point for our people in our church and in our movement. Because I know this, that week by week church, it'll help immensely for anybody in their life. But there's got to be times in every year, and every church and every movement over the history of the world has understood this, where you come away. I remember when Chris and I were first saved, it was called Family Camp. And everybody went with tents out into a cow paddock. We had some guy from Fiji yelling and screaming at us, you know, like for 3 days. And we'd all get stirred up to go to the mission field and then we'd calm down a little. But we were all set on fire again. And you find just that getting away from all the distractions and making it a time where you exclusively were set apart to God, you get revived. And that glow lingers on. My aim is not just the event, but it's the year after. Some people say to me, "Well, what a great conference." I generally will say, "Well, I'll tell you in 1 year whether it was a great conference." Just to have a lot of emo right there in the middle of an event, that's kind of, you know, that's good, but, you know, you can remember that. But what actually are the measurable results afterwards? And I want for you to have a rich, full, abundant life. And I know that these kind of events will bring you to that. So at present, I'm inviting you, but I'd love to be a bringer instead of just an inviter and put you all in the back seat of my car and drive you there. Amen. But I know we can't do that. So you and I can work together to help each other in the whole congregation and around our city, bring our friends, bring our family, say, you know, we really shouldn't be in two minds about this. This is a moment that God is arranging, and we really need to turn up at the table and say, you know, I'm just going to be there for everything. And I know it's going to be an awesome time. Now, I wanted to just recount the beginnings, because I haven't told this story much. I can't even remember when I did last tell it, except just this week. When we decided to do this meeting, the Lord sort of put it on my heart that you should start it on Boxing Day, which really troubled me, because I said, who is going to turn up the day after Christmas for whatever it is, 5 nights until New Year's Eve? I mean, everybody goes to the beach. They're all too fat to go anywhere after Christmas Day. Don't want to do anything. But anyway, the first night that we had it, there were about 800 people there. I remember Lester Sumrall coming in. And God bless him, great man of God. And a guy from Peru. And Greg told me last night, we did that for 18 years. Had it on Boxing Day till unbelievable. And then the Lord let us off and gave it to us just after Easter, which is a little improvement, amen, in terms of timing, but it helps, and so it's awesome. And when we were getting this ready, I can remember precisely this vision that I had while I was driving down towards Brookvale one day from our home in Eleonora, and I drove past where Bunnings is now. We used to call Mitre 10 or something. Driving past that hardware store, and I remember kind of going into a vision mode, and I cannot remember anything between Narrabeen and Brookvale except just seeing this vision all the way down, just driving along. And you shouldn't drive with me before conferences. But anyway, what I saw was all these like worker angels, these beings, you know, guys. They came in and they had rolled up white rolls under their arm, and they came in and rolled out a floor inside the Brookvale warehouse. Rolled out this big floor all over the floor of the warehouse, and then put up walls up go, and then a roof. And it was a tent. And they were putting up a tent inside a building. Not that you could see it, but it's like something happening in the spiritual world. Then they created a stage. Even though we had a stage, there was another one. And then there was a throne. They put a throne on the stage. And that was it. And I thought, whoa, this is awesome. God's put a tent up inside our warehouse because he's coming to visit us. Amazing. And that was good. Okay, so about 2 days before Christmas, I'm driving down to, because we're going to start this conference in 3 days' time, driving towards same place, just going past where Bunnings is. Boom. It's like the heavens open. I can see those same angels, roadie angels, you know, who are coming in, and they start rolling it all up and taking it away. And I said, no, God. What have I done? Oh, I repent from whatever it is. I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't, you know. And the Lord said to me, oh, that was just a practice run. That was a rehearsal to make sure we had all the measurements right and all the fittings were correct and fit it all in. I said, you're kidding me. Does heaven have to do all this stuff? You know, like, so, well, that was in the back of my heart. I didn't actually say that. But and then these kind of glorious angels came in. These guys had wings and they came in and they I don't know where they had it. I don't think they had it rolled under their arm, but they rolled out a floor that you could see through. It was like, you see right through the thing. And it was made of like silk that was see-through, and it had little glimmering lights all the way through it. And when one went down, as I was watching this, I was feeling weaker and weaker while I'm driving the car. Like all the strength was going out of me. I was getting overwhelmed with it. Oh, God. And then another one, they had this huge floor. Then up went the wall, same thing, see right through, like sheer material. And then up, and it had all these carnival lights across the top, like you see on a cruise liner. You know, vroom, vroom, vroom. I thought, whoa, it's a party. And all these lights hanging down. And then they created this glorious stage, and then a throne, boom, was there. And this angel said to me, at this conference, the Lord will sit on the stage, and people will come, and their hearts will break open, and he will see what's in their heart, and he'll select people for his army. Wow. To take the gospel to the ends of the world. Wow. People who will fight and stand strong. I thought, wow. And then there were these stationed four really what I'd call mighty angels at each corner of the building of that tent. They had swords. They just stood there stationary. And then alongside of them came these kind of lesser warrior angels forming a wall around the thing. You know, and it just sort of occurred to me. I thought, of course, if the Almighty God is coming to town, it's not like you do nothing. If the Queen's going to turn up in Sydney, everybody spends $50 million sprucing the place up. Even if your father-in-law is coming around for dinner, you clean up the barbecue, you know, you'll do something. You get ready for important people when they're coming. And if God is coming, my Lord, it's like, so there are all these angels. And then behind those more sober army soldier-like angels with swords and standing at attention and all along a guard, all came in these crazy angels, like party angels. And they're like little cherubs going, whoa, the Lord's coming. We're going to shout his praise. And they all were just, and it's like these two different angels, the other angels didn't take any notice of them, but it was, okay, so I've just revealed how weird your pastor is, but that really helped me understand that when God visits the earth to touch you, his people, there's something supernatural that's going on. And all the last thing, I saw a guy came into that tent and started walking up and down, and he had this huge bell in his hand, and it was going dong, 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 dong. It sounded like church bells. Dong, 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 dong. And I thought, wow, what's that? He said, there are people all over this country who are going to hear that sound, and they will come, just like church bells ringing in a city, and they all hear it, and they're called to prayer or called to gather at the church. And so this guy's ringing that bell, and people who have got an ear to hear, they'll hear that and resonate with that and say, we really need to be down at that moment. And I'm telling you, it isn't like an idea that we have that, oh, let's just have a con. It's something that God has ordained for you. It's a table that has been set for you and for all of our churches around the world to come to. It's a significant event. And at this event, I have no doubt that one of the key phrases that will be established in all of our lives is upgrade. Everybody say upgrade. I mean, God delights in, unlike some airlines, he loves giving you upgrades. Amen. Unlike some hotel chains. But isn't it wonderful when you come to the desk, oh, we've run out of our standard rooms. I'm sorry, we have to give you the penthouse. You know, it's like, oh, gee, let me pray about that while I unpack. Amen. It's like, but when you get downgraded, it's like, oh, you know, you're not feeling great. God is into boosting your life. God is good. There is nothing he will withhold from you. No good thing will he withhold from you. The Bible says, from those who seek him. And just trust him that as you give him time, he's going to bless your business world, your family world. Every time those Israelites went up to Jerusalem and left their farm, Their farms were protected from all enemies. And so if you're a real estate guy, don't think you're going to lose a sale or you're going to miss out on some bank opportunity or some client opportunity. Put the Lord first. And I've had that happen many times where people have said to me, I was sitting in a meeting and I got a deal that I've been trying to get for 3 months. As soon as I sat down after that miracle offering, a phone call came through to me. Amen. And one of those was Simon McIntyre. Amen. In Jesus' name. So I'm just letting you know, breakthroughs can happen for everybody. I won't say anybody. Amen. Everybody. And it's the truth. Okay, so this is how it works in Isaiah 60, verse 17. Instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold. So if we've had a bronze level of living, he's saying, I want to take you to gold. Instead of iron, I'm going to bring you silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. And the Lord is wanting to increase your world. Psalm 115, verse 14, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. And so once we put ourselves in the presence of the Lord, ideas, concepts can come to us as the fog clears over a period of time and we get clarity about matters. That's why Psalm 84:10 says a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather be a gatekeeper. I'd rather be a volunteer at presence than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. Amen. So I'd rather be just there worshiping. And whether we're worshiping as we volunteer or with our hands in the air, we're going to find that the touch of God can be on our lives and enrich us for the year ahead. This last passage that I want to share with you, Isaiah 40 verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The reason he's saying that is because they were saying, my prayer has not been answered. God has overlooked my just claim. And they thought that God was ignorant of their circumstances. But the prophet says, no, you're ignorant of his ways. Have you not known? You're not understanding that he understands everything. There's not one detail of your life that escapes his notice. He neither faints, he doesn't feel discouraged, and he's not worn out. But he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even young men, even youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, who spend days in the presence of God, they will renew their strength. In fact, that word renew is translated also exchange. So the ability to be strong enough in your world to resist the things you need to resist and to embrace the things you need to embrace, to confront the things you need to confront, that all takes strength. And you know, this little phone here, if I don't recharge it, I'm looking at that battery meter going zzz, like that throughout the day. Even though I can still use it, I know it's dying. And if I don't get it into a recharger, it's going to be useless in my hand. I want to be useful in the hand of God. And I know that I got to get plugged in. And if I just go like that with this plug, doesn't do anything for it. I got to have a charge all night long sometimes. So I have a plug by my bed. I have a plug in my car. I have a plug at my desk. I have a recharging culture going on. Every time I sit down, I charge this phone. But you know, just understanding that to keep your life, your Christian life alive, a moment like this is going to be absolutely life transforming. Those who wait on the Lord, they will. You'll mount up. You'll soar. You'll get above the clouds. Sun shining up there. Way above the clouds. Get above the cold. Get above the rain. Get above the circumstances. Get a vision that's bigger, wider, further. They shall run, won't be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You and I are going to be so empowered out of this conference in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.